This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by our friends at Off to Neverland Travel.
That's right.
Off to Neverland Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner. They have a wealth of knowledge about Disney and all things Disney, and they are here with their magic makers to plan a perfect experience for you at Disney.
That's right. You need to go to gotoneverland.com. Visit gotoneverland.com today. Contact one of these magic makers. They're going to plan the ultimate vacation for you. They're planning one for me right now as we speak. It's going to be great. I can't wait. I can tell you it's been a seamless experience. It's like, you know, having someone plan the entire trip for you without even doing anything.
So it's not just while you're there. They're helping pre-plan.
Oh, absolutely.
Get everything together for you.
Yeah, they're not just someone who's just going to go and book your hotels, book your flights, book whatever. I mean, they can do that. Absolutely. They can hook you up. They're an authorized Disney vacation planner, but they also do so much more. They want to get to know you. They want to know your story. They want to customize the perfect trip for you and not just hook you up with what everyone thinks you should be doing. They know what your family should be doing. If you have little kids, you have grandparents going, they'll make sure you have a one-of-a-kind experience, and it's at Off to Neverland. All you need to do is visit gotoneverland.com, and make sure you do that. Use that domain, gotoneverland.com, because that tells them you heard about it right here on WDW Today.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, January 13th, 2016, and this is episode 1494 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
And we got a great show lined up for you. Terry just got back from Walt Disney World, so he's going to tell us about some of the brand new stuff that we haven't really talked about yet. Some stuff I haven't done yet, Will hasn't done, so we'll get into that a little bit later. But we want to start, as we're going to do each and every episode, with a little thing we call a quote quiz. All right, it is time for another edition of Quote Quiz, and we have Patrick on the line. Patrick, you there?
I am here.
Patrick, we're excited to have you on. You're going to be playing for me today, and for those who maybe don't remember or didn't listen to last week's episode, how Quote Quiz works, at this point, I'm going to give out a quote to a Disney World attraction, and the three guys, Terry, Will, and Patrick, who's playing for me, is going to try to guess that attraction. To buzz in, you know, essentially be the first person I call on. Say your name as loud as you can, as quick as you can, from when you know it. Are we all, do we understand? Is it too complicated? Do we need to refine?
I just want to let people know I'm winning right now.
You're winning. Will,
I am. Will is in the lead.
It's 1-0-0.
1-0. All right. Patrick, do you understand?
I've got it. Yeah.
All right. Patrick's playing today for our Laugh-O-Gram prize pack. That's a lot of different things. Some Laugh-O-Gram swag, some newspapers, probably a t-shirt. I don't know what's in there this week. You'll get some cool stuff sent to you if you win. All right, Patrick, great. It's time for Quote Quiz. Are you guys, everyone's ready?
Ready.
We're ready.
Yes.
So here we go. We have a wonderful magic trick for you.
Oh.
Anybody? I'll say, we have a wonderful magic trick for you. Or we have a wonderful magic trick for you.
That's not helping.
Will. Okay,
three caballeros.
Closer. Close. I'm going to say that's a good hint. Come on. Not three caballeros, but it may be okay. And we have to figure out how we're going to do if no one guesses it. Let's, I'll give you the follow-up line. How about that? We have a wonderful magic trick for you. Yes, wonderful trick. Everybody face the door. And the trick is we're going
Patrick.
To make you all.
Patrick.
Oh, Patrick.
It's the tiki room.
Yes, Patrick. Disappear. So Patrick wins. So that means Logan won. Woo-hoo. Will won. Terry nothing. Terry and nothing.
I think the big loser in this is your accent. That didn't sound anything like the tiki room.
No idea. Oh, I'll play it back. From. We'll play it at the end of the show.
It actually
that's
probably
pretty
is
close.
Really accurate.
Because they're all in
after
the verge of
it,
1960s offensive.
Like,
so
oh,
that's
yeah,
fine.
That's totally right. Yeah.
All right, Patrick. Thanks a lot.
No sweat.
So far, we can't play this game because someone buzzed in for Will. Someone buzzed in for me.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty obvious.
He buzzed in, and I'm like, oh, no. I know where this is going. I know it. I should have jumped in. What was I thinking?
Here's a little thing for everybody listening, because I'm sure a lot of you are yelling at the radio or at your iPhone, however you're listening to this, going, what? It's the Tiki Room. Everyone knows it's the Enchanted Tiki Room. When you're on the other side, it's a lot different.
They say your IQ drops like 20 or 30 points when you're on Jeopardy or something. I feel like with the quote quiz, you just have no IQ.
Yeah.
You completely drop out.
Yeah, and I give you hints, more lines. Okay, whatever it is, let's move on. We'll be doing listener questions with Lynn later on, but we wanted to move the topic to a different discussion. This actually was inspired by a listener question that came in. People were trying to decide whether it was even worth at this point going to Disney Hollywood Studios. As you know, Disney's Hollywood Studios is going through a major refurb, major changes, lots of attractions closed, lots of entertainment going away. Even as recently as the last week, we've seen some meet and greet characters go away. We have seen some new stuff added. Terry just got back from a trip to Walt Disney World. He spent a decent amount of time in the studios. He can give us sort of his idea on whether it's worth actually doing it still at this point, or skipping it, waiting until Star Wars Land is built, or till Toy Story Land is there. So let's get into that, Terry. We'll get to your trip report next week, because we want to hear all about Skipper Canteen and some of this cool stuff you've done, new stuff that our audience may not know about. But let's talk about Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Well, the first thing I think we all think about when we think about Hollywood Studios is you look at the list of refurbs and things closing, and it seems like every day they're closing something. When I was there, they just closed Phineas and Ferb meet and greet.
Right, and the Cars meet and greet.
The Cars meet and greet. And it just seems like everywhere you turn, you know, Pizza Planet on its way out. And
I heard Pizza Planet may be coming back at the end of the year.
I've heard two things on Pizza, very interesting in Pizza Planet world, that Pizza Planet obviously is probably moving in a much better themed area over to Toy Story Land. And there's a rumor the Pizza Planet is going to become some sort of Muppets themed restaurant. I've seen that rumor floating around the internet.
I mean, a Muppets thing as a Muppet fan would be awesome, but knowing that the TV show is kind of not doing incredibly well, it was doing really well and kind of has slowed down significantly, I think that would be a little bit of an odd choice, but awesome, totally for it. But there are some things
we could all hope for, the Swedish Chef themed restaurant.
Oh yeah, that would be
only if they're throwing fish at you. Yeah, like that's the entire restaurant.
You'd be like rubber fish.
No, your dinner.
Okay.
Kind of like Lambert's.
Yeah, where they throw the rolls.
They throw the rolls at you. The only thing you can order is fish, and they're throwing it at you.
I like when they throw those rolls, because there's so many mists. So you just walk around, it looks like just like defeated rolls, destroyed rolls on the ground.
It's kind of disgusting.
But off of that.
There's a lot of fun things to do, especially around Star Wars. And I know we've talked about even just that, you know, that the season of the Force seemed to kind of
disappear.
Yeah. But there's a ton of Star Wars shopping at the parks right now. Watto's Grotto has just opened. Lots of Her Universe products. So if you're, you know, you for the lady listeners out there,
the fangirls.
The fangirls out there, there was a cool Chewie dress I think we saw, and a BB-8 dress, and lots of purses. And
I wish you could see Will's face when you said a Chewie dress.
You said a cool Chewie dress. Explain what this dress looked like.
It was Chewie-like. It was like inspired by
Bandolier. You're wearing fur.
No, it's not fur.
Okay.
It's Chewie inspired.
Okay. Continue.
Yes. Did you not know that faux fur is all the rage this year?
In dress form.
In Orlando, Florida.
And of course, the launch bay is totally full of lots of great merch.
Yeah, I did want to talk to launch bay. Do you feel like it's, I mean, I'm so used to walking in there from the animation point of view, because that was my go-to. Sorry, Will just showed us a Chewbacca dress that is made of fur.
This is what I was imagining. We're going to put a link to this in the show notes for everyone.
I don't know if we are, but does it feel like the same building? Because, I mean, my son is a little bit disturbed because he's like, oh, I want to go meet Baymax.
You can very, very much tell that it's the same building.
They just painted it.
Where you used to be able to see our friend, what would have been Tom Bancroft's desk there, it's now, you know, this pod racer from episode one. And so, which is kind of cool.
Oh, it's still like an office?
Still the same shape. They really didn't like do a whole lot to the building as far as major construction. Where Mickey was, there's a queue that actually leads you over to Chewbacca.
Chewie's on Mickey's side.
And the rotating character was. Yeah. That's Darth Vader now. There's little Jawas kind of running all around the building and trading with kids. And
who had a longer line? Chewie, I would assume.
Vader? Vader had a longer line.
I feel like everyone
almost double.
I can buy a decent Darth Vader costume. I feel like for like $40.
You can also, for $40, buy a decent Chewbacca dress.
That's true.
Speaking of costumes, there were costumes ranging from like $700 to $4,000 on
sale. I've heard that the store in there is insane. It's stuff that you really wouldn't even expect is actually for sale.
You've just listed a lot of shopping experiences that are still open.
What about things where you don't have to spend extra money?
I'm not
because
done.
You're already spending $100.
There's so much to do. Club Disney, which is something that's really exciting for. It's a character dance party, which a lot of times you see during special events.
Yeah.
But this one's during the middle of the day, DJ spinning, and you know, you get to dance with your favorite
characters.
Yeah,
I know my son, who's almost 3.5 now, I know he is going to freak out and love that. I've been looking at people's videos, and I know he's a character kid, loves them. He'll be really excited for something like that. And I've seen does it seem like they've enhanced those things that are easier for them to fulfill? Obviously, they did get rid of Phineas and Ferb just this last week. They got rid of Lightning McQueen and Mater, which is crushing. But does it feel like they have tried to enhance it all? The streetmosphere, the stuff that happens in between, or characters that just randomly show up?
Yeah, there was a lot of streetmosphere, and it definitely felt like what they did with Club Disney, that they're going to do a lot more over this next 6, 8, 12 months, even a couple years as this construction starts to close things down. And just they're listening to the fan community that's saying, hey, you're taking everything away. What are we going to do? I mean, we spent the entire day there.
Because there's still, even for the kind of more classic attractions, Tower of Terror, Rock and Roller Coaster, Star Tours, Great Movie Ride, and even Muppet Vision, some of those other ones. And then Toy Story, obviously, you know, Toy Story Mania, that's almost a full day right there with really kind of headline attractions and great attractions. Now, you're right. A lot of things have gone away, especially a lot of those things that as a parent of a young child, it's easy to say, hey, let's go over and do this. Because there's no line. I can't imagine at this point, let's just be honest, going to Disney World and not going to Hollywood Studios because the characters that are still there you can meet. So Disney Junior Live on Stage, which is still there. So a lot of things, if you do have, if you're a big kid or a very little kid, there's probably a good mix that's still available at Disney's Hollywood Studios. So for you to decide whether it's worth the $100 admission or whatever it is these days is probably up to you, knowing your family and knowing if it's something that works. That sort of mid-level ground, I'm not sure if there's a ton. You know, when it comes to, if you're not a, let's say you're not a preschooler, and then you're not a teenager, is there...
What about for me? What about for me and my wife? We love going to Magic Kingdom still.
For sure.
We love going to Epcot because that's adult Disney in my mind. And we like Hollywood Studios when there's a ton to do, but these things you're describing, I'm not going to go to Club Disney and dance with characters.
Right.
So
the thrill rides are still there, though. So you still have Tower of Terror
and
Roller Coaster.
They had the all-new Symphony of the Stars, the Galactic Spectacular Star Wars fireworks that I thought were new and improved. And just when you put a John Williams score and start blowing stuff up, it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I saw a version of that at the last tour of Endor they did a few years back when they closed down the original version of Star Tours. And it was... kind of an emotional experience.
For sure.
As a big Star Wars fan, to be there amongst, at that point, a ton of Star Wars fans. And now what's awesome is that Star Wars is back in full effect in pop culture, and everyone is a huge Star Wars fan. And that's a good thing, by the way. You know, that's how it should be. That's how it was in the 70s, how it was in the 80s, how it was in the 90s. It's glad to have that little bit back.
And my wife doesn't really even enjoy the Star Wars movies, but she's like...
Well, the music is unbelievable.
Those fireworks are unbelievable. Yeah. The music was incredible. And they've just opened until the 20th of March, I believe. It's called Minnie's Silver Screen and Dine at Hollywood and Vine.
Yeah, I saw that's like an Oscar party,
like
right?
Like a red carpet event with Minnie. It looks like from the press pictures I've seen, Mickey's all dressed up in a blue tuxedo.
Yeah, so if you're, I guess, a film fan and you're also a preschooler or middle schooler or whatever,
or
it is,
you
or you
go to
characters.
Dapper Days on the occasion.
But that is cool. I looked at that because I went there when they did Back to Star Wars, and I hate to keep going back to Star Wars, but there's just so much Star Wars in the park, it's hard to avoid it. When they did Star Wars weekends last year in May the 4th, I went, we did the Star Wars dining there, and though they were obviously all their Star Wars characters not dressed up like this, the one thing I will warn you about those, a character dining at Hollywood and Vine can get super hectic. I have had some interesting experiences there. I've done Chef Mickey's a ton, which is probably my favorite to do with my kid. I've done quite a few of the other smaller ones in hotels. It's packed, and it's slammed, and it's kind of uncomfortable. The pictures I've gotten, if you're looking for that, if you're looking for a really great picture with your child or children with Goofy, it's probably not the best place for that because they are often crammed in a spot where your phone can't get a good shot and you, or you can have a good camera. It is a bit complicated there. Not to say this doesn't sound like fun, because it does sound like fun.
And it looks like they've made the food.
Yeah, I've heard the food is really good. Yeah.
They've added some, and I've never been a fan of that restaurant, but they're adding bacon wrapped pork loin and lobster and shrimp macaroni, bourbon glazed turkey, and special desserts and a creamy popcorn soup, which kind of sounds fun. I think I've had that on the cruise line.
That sounds like a really good option.
Yeah, and if they ever bring back the Star Wars dining, go just for Jabba the Hutt cupcakes, because they're awesome.
Jabba the cupcakes.
Did you get to do a great movie ride?
I did. And, we got a fast pass for for Great Movie Ride because we just did them the day of.
I'll say, was that necessary?
the day we were there, it was a slammed day. And man, I had big hopes and aspirations for the Great Movie Ride because I loved it. And really all that's changed is the narration has changed a little bit. Nothing has changed in the ride. The Q show is a little different.
It's now presented by TCM, right?
By TCM.
By Turner Classic Movies.
It still has that weird scene from Alien that seems like,
this is Alien.
Yeah, it just seems out of place.
Yeah, that's actually the Great Movie Ride. I'm a huge fan of actually our reception for our wedding was done in the Great Movie Ride. They pulled out the cars and we did it throughout the Great Movie Ride.
In the show notes, we're going to put a link to a picture of it.
Pictures of that. Yeah, you can see some pictures from it. It was really fun. And I love the Great Movie Ride. I've not been on it since the refurb because, honestly, because of that Alien scene, because I'm always there with, at that point, probably my 2.5-year-old. I haven't been back in a few months because we just had twins. We haven't been able to get down to the parks, but we're going in about a month. And I'm curious. I'm actually on the Disney World website, and I like that it says, the Great Movie Ride, any height, slow ride, dark, scary. You know, the fact that there are moments in the ride that are definitely dated or older, that Alien part is something I feel like they really need to think about removing because it's, number one, it's super dated. The likelihood of most of the people riding the ride have even seen an Alien movie or even know what it is pretty low. And yes, it's a classic. I love Alien. I love Aliens. And I love that franchise. That's the part that kind of boggled my mind. I'm super thrilled that TCM came in and saved the day so we don't see that becoming just another entry to Star Wars Land, which is what I honestly was kind of thought could be something. Because I'm like, oh, it premiered at the Grandma's Chinese Theater. It'd be an easy sell. I'm thrilled that it's still that ride. But I do think if they're going to do any update, and clearly they did with the TCM update, why don't put in one new scene? Why not replace her a few scenes?
In the refurb, you don't still get kidnapped. Do you?
Yeah.
You do.
Like, yeah, that was still...
See, I had heard rumblings, or maybe it was just Logan and I discussing that we thought that they wouldn't have that part of it.
Yeah, she's...
As a child, that was the part that I was always scared of. I knew it was coming.
That part
but
is...
I didn't like being...
Kidnapped.
Taken hostage in the Alien, I was like, okay, I know I can shut my eyes.
For 20
but when someone hops on your car and takes you hostage, that really freaked me out.
Sensitive child.
Clearly, I have issues because
I'm going to steal your car.
If you listened to last week, I couldn't handle the haunted mansion, and now I can't handle a 1920s gangsta.
There's a reason you're the nature boy.
Boy.
Because I am still very much a boy.
It definitely needs help. I can't remember the guy's name from TCM. That guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, he talks a little more than the show host does, but there's still the kidnapping scene. I got on the ride and I was like, oh, the cube was definitely better. I had big hopes.
I love that ride. And it's Robert Osborne is who hosts it. That's right. It just came to be Robert Osborne. He hosts that new attraction at the Great Movie Ride. It's been refurbed for a while now. I know we're getting into it, but some people haven't traveled down there or haven't been over to the park, but it's still there. It's still operational. It's what would you consider it to be, better or worse than it was?
It's better.
It's better. So it's a step up. It's just not the step up you were looking for.
I think what they're going to have to do once Star Wars open is completely go dark for 6 months and change out some of those scenes. It would take them a month to turn Alien into a Star Wars scene because it almost, when we rounded the corner, I was like, oh.
Yeah, it would be awesome to see that maybe like the Death Star corridor or something. Is One Man's Dream still open?
Yes.
So briefly, I think it's, who knows?
It's still there where the desk was is the big the map that Glenn Beck owns, the big giant Disneyland map.
I love that's a point of reference for people. Map that Glenn Beck owns. Well,
as a Disney fan, you'd figure out who's got all the good stuff. And
oh, he has the real map.
Yeah, he has like the real map. So
I thought you were just throwing that because he does the chalkboard thing. The map. And the,
No,
he actually owns. I know he's a big Disney fan.
Yeah, I think he's talked about owning it or buying it on an interview about Walt Disney.
That's insane.
That's just because Terry watches a lot of Glenn Beck interviews. He's not Blaze. Because he's not a Disney fan.
Big fan of the Blaze here. On. I'm just kidding. All right.
So that brings us to really the big question, and I think we're all probably in agreement. If you've got younger kids, it's probably still worth going to.
Yeah, you could definitely get through a few hours of attractions in there. I think you get a half a day if you have little kids. You can probably get a half a day period. You can get a full day if you're willing to experience things that may not be on the top of your list.
Yeah, and I think it all depends on how if you go in gung-ho, hardcore, it's definitely half day. If you like to eat, walk around the
characters,
parks,
yeah.
Do characters, experience all the little nooks and crannies of the park and sit on the benches and watch people watch. There's still primo people watching at Hollywood Studios.
If you're someone who's just going in for the thrill rides, you can knock those out pretty quickly if you still want to essentially waste a day there, and there's still some stuff you can do. But for all other age groups, there's still a decent amount to do at the Hollywood Studios.
Well, that's great. I think we've all come to agreement about this. Logan, you had an opportunity to talk to someone on the phone earlier that has a really unique opportunity at Disney coming up.
That's right. If you're going to be at Disney World really next week, you're going to want to listen to this interview. It's a guy named Jeff Bertrand. He's an artist here in Nashville, but he's kind of known for one of the things he's been doing recently is doing art drops throughout the country, really, which is where he'll kind of, through Instagram or any of his social media outlets, post photos of pieces of art he's done and left in different places for free. We get into that, his love of Disney, why he does these free art drops, and how you can be involved.
Great. Can't wait to hear it. Let's go to that interview right now.
All right. We're joined with a special guest today on WDW Today, Jeff Bertrand, who, if you're with us here in Nashville, if you've been part of the Nashville community, especially the art community, you've probably heard that name before. But Jeff is definitely doing something really cool for those Disney listeners that are listening right now. Some of those guys who are going to be in the parks in the next few days. Jeff, welcome to WDW Today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, man.
Give a little backstory of your career, your life, and also what is drawing you to doing this whole art drop movement that you've kind of cultivated here locally, and now it's growing and growing.
I've been a local artist here in Nashville for the better part of probably 12 years. And I've shown nationally. It started about 6 years ago. I would do art shows in cities like Atlanta, New Orleans, St. Louis. And whenever I would do a show out of state, I would take art with me, an extra piece or two. And what I would do is, I'd leave some contact information on the back. And it was way before Instagram. And I was like, if you find this, please email me. I want to know who found this piece. So I would just do it for fun, just to see if anybody was even interested. Whenever I would do a show, I would do the show and then I would take the work with me, like a scavenger hunt around like iconic places in each city. Sure enough, I would get emails back and people would be super pumped about it. Like, oh my God, I came across your piece of artwork. Thanks a lot, man. It made my day. I remember doing an art drop for the Atlanta Comic-Con and I would leave. It was more game-inspired and comic-inspired art for the event. I would leave pieces around. And this guy, I guess that was wearing a Galactus costume, he found a Galactus painting I left.
Oh, wow.
He said, I was kind of bummed out this year. I was going to retire this costume. But this is what I do every year. This is my big holiday.
Yeah.
He's like, I was going to wear this one more time. And he's like, I came across your painting and he's like, odd as it sounds, it made me feel a lot better about the situation. And it made me feel like okay about it. And he was like, it was just so weird that what you left matched up with the current situation. And
tell us what you're doing now. You've been doing that around the country really for, like I said, the last few years, but you're about to do, coming up next week, you're traveling to Walt Disney World, I guess. Are you going on vacation?
We're actually going for a big family gathering. And I was like, since I'm going to be there anyways, I wanted to do 12 Disney-inspired paintings and leave them around the Disney parks.
All right, so when are you going to be doing this, and how can our audience kind of interact with you and try to be a part of this art hunt, essentially?
I'm going to be there January 20th through the 23rd. You could find clues about where I'm dropping the paintings with the hashtag Disney Drop.
All right. Hashtag Disney Drop.
Disney Art Drop.
All right.
And that's on Instagram.
That's on Instagram. All right, so everyone, take a look at that. Hashtag Disney Drop or Disney Art Drop. The paintings, you've already posted some of them online, whether it's some of the more like classic characters like Snow White or some of the more cult favorites like your Darkwing Duck. There's some really great stuff out there, and you want to follow Jeff, like I said, and you can obviously find him on, you know, pretty much everywhere doing these things. But for the Disney fans that are going to be there the next couple, you know, in the next week, we want to make sure that you guys have the chance to maybe pick up some of this awesome art and maybe find the clues. And if you do find it, please, just like you should let Jeff know, let us know, because it'd be awesome if a listener picked up one of these pieces. Now, Jeff, you've done some Disney stuff in the past. You've done a Walt. You've done one of my favorite ones, one you did last year, a bunch of cartoon characters from the 90s playing cards. You know, that there's a lot of pieces you've done that are sort of have Disney inspiration through them. Do you have a connection at all with the works of Disney or with Disney World as parks? Do you have any connection there? Is it more just, you know, it's a fun thing to riff on for you?
For me personally, as a child, we grew up super poor. I never really got to afford to go to Disney World. Mm-hmm. So as an adult, I've definitely taken advantage of it. I grew up watching the TV shows and the movies as a kid. I remember, you know, vividly watching Dumbo. But to me personally, when I would go to Disney World, it's inspirational for me because it's so artistic. I just, you know, I love all the animation and I love all the art based on the movies and the rides. So there's no really connection other than it inspires me. It's inspirational. It's the happy place.
Yeah.
It's my happy place. Me and my wife actually went there on our honeymoon as well. So we're big fans of Disney World.
That's awesome. Yeah. My wife and I got married there. So we share that in some way, Jeff, but that is interesting you say that, because this will just tie back kind of into the art point of view. One of my friends who actually is a guy who does Disney fine arts, a licensed Disney fine artist, he kind of said, you know, some people look at his art and kind of go, well, it's Disney art. How could you really find this to be something that is considered fine art in some ways? But he said to him, when he goes through Walt Disney World, he considers it kind of the world's largest art installation. Obviously, there's the commercial side of it, but he sees the creative side of it just bursting.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, Jeff, again, how can people, I know how they can obviously follow you now. We know hashtag Disney Drop or hashtag Disney Art Drop. And you're going to be there again. What days?
It'll be January 20th through January 23rd. And you can also add me on Instagram. It's Art by Jeff Bertrand, Bertrand.
That's great. We'll link all that on our social and on our website. Thank you, Jeff, so much for popping into WDW today. And we hope to have you on. Maybe one of our listeners picks up a piece and we can have a nice reunion moment.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. I just wanted to take a quick break to tell you about our new friend and sponsor, Walt Life. Now, you may have been driving through Walt Disney World. You may have been even here in Nashville, Tennessee. I've seen them drive around here and seen these big decals on the back of people's cars that say Walt Life. And you may have wondered, how do I get one of those awesome decals? Well, that's not all they do. But if you do want one of those decals, you just go to waltlife.com. When you're there, you're going to see some really cool stuff. They do giveaways every month on their Facebook page. They also do subscription box services. If you need a little taste of the magic back when you're at home, they have an awesome subscription service. Essentially, you get a box of goodies, of Walt Disney World goodies, every month. It's really great. And also, they do pin trading. There's tons of different ways you can get involved with Walt Life. And again, it's at waltlife.com. Again, I mean, I just still got a sticker. I just got one in the mail. I got my t-shirt, my Walt Life t-shirt. If you want to show your love and your passion for Walt Disney World and all things Walt Disney, it's a great way to do it. Looks cool. It's clean. I really think you're going to like it. Again, one more time, waltlife.com. Make sure you tell them you found out about them right here on WDW today.
And you know, Logan, it's more than a vacation. It's a way of life.
Go to waltlife.com. Thanks to Jeff Bertrand. Awesome interview. If you're going to be in the parks next week, you should make sure to try to pick up one of Jeff's pieces. He'll be dropping all around Walt Disney World. You can follow that again at hashtag Disney Drop and hashtag Disney Art Drop on Instagram. And we'll make sure to post whenever we see something as well. Well, it's almost time to wrap up the show, which means
it's time for listener questions with Lynn.
We got it!
them.
How many times are we going to hear the jingle before we're just going to go, you know what? I can't take it.
You know what?
I can't take it anymore.
I think three. I think the third time.
Can we get it in half? Where it just goes to listen. Because it is the buildup. It's intense.
It's a good buildup.
I love it. Yeah. Dylan Spears, thank you so much who wrote that music for us.
Logan, you got a question for us?
I do. Our first question's coming in from Bridget Gobble from Cincinnati, Ohio. She said, your thoughts on the one-day memory maker price and price drop on the vacation package memory maker. Now, that's been kind of in the news recently, the memory maker. Not only do you have all the PhotoPass stuff coming with the annual pass now, but also they're dropping the price. Lynn?
Two things. The memory maker one-day package now is $59 plus tax, and that gets you access to all of the photos for one day. They also dropped a few days before that. They announced that package. So they actually dropped the price of the regular memory maker package from $169 to $149.
And that covers how – is that a couple days or your whole trip? Is it
three days? That's length of stay for
length
your trip.
Length of stay. So, I mean, not bad.
But you have to buy it 3 days in advance.
That's what it is. I knew there was a three-day rule in there somewhere.
The three-day rule is there, You know, $59, that's really just a couple of onboard rides and a few other photos.
Yeah,
that's included.
That feels super worth it, in my opinion. I mean, if you're gonna buy these photos anyway, I have been many times stuck at home after a day where I didn't buy the memory maker, and there I was plucking down $30-$40 for a medium resolution digital photo. For me now, going as a dad of three, like, that's a no-brainer.
And I think that's exactly what it is. The onboard. And $60 is a lot of money for photos, I would think. But the good thing about that is you could try it for the one day. Like, let's say you're going to the Magic Kingdom and, you know, it's your kid's favorite park or whatever. You do all the onboard ride photos. You do the Space Mountain, the Buzz, Splash Mountain. You've got your money right there. And $59 is pretty good. In fact, you can re-ride them and get multiple rides, multiple photos.
Yeah.
And Lynn, you do get a digital copy with this as well. It's not just the traditional printout in the little paper frame.
Is it just digital?
Or how does it work exactly?
It's just digital.
Oh, great. So, I mean, even for me, Logan's mentioning for his kids, obviously it's a no-brainer. I would consider doing it for one day if I was down there on a special vacation. I don't have any children yet, but me and my wife, you know, just getting a few photos and, you know, not have to worry about pulling out the phone, getting pictures everywhere. And obviously, it can't really do that on a ride.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I think it could be fun.
You can't. But
the other thing is, it can also include character meal photos. So typically with a character meal, you know, one of the parents has to get up and take the photo of everybody else with the character. This gets to, you know, all of you guys in the photo, so it doesn't look like mom was, you know, staying home in Topeka while everyone else went on vacation.
Speaking again as a dad, I character meal all the time, and mainly just because the fact that it's like, all right, well, I can go get all these characters knocked out and we don't have to wait in line for 8 hours. Now you have to pay the price, and obviously sometimes that's not super fun. But I feel like this is a great, I mean, it's not necessarily a great value, but in comparison to what it was, I feel like it's a really good option. I do love, I'd say, a lot of people, like, the price of the annual pass when I started going to Disney World as an annual pass holder was like $300. Like, it was not even to 400, maybe right over 400. This was probably 2006 was whenever I started buying annual passes. So now you have to look at it. I also was getting $25 flights on Southwest. Things have changed.
$25 flights.
It was. No, legitimately, I could fly from Nashville to Orlando for $50 round trip. It was unbelievable. My wife and I did multiple. Actually, we have in that weird graveyard thing in front of Epcot, whatever they, I don't remember what the official word was or what that actually is, where you put your face in it. The monument.
Leave a legacy.
Leave a legacy. I left a legacy. And I challenge anyone to find it. And it's if you find it, we'll hook you up with something. It's my wife and I, next to it, it's like 12 hours in Disney because we had flown down for $25 flights, did the entire day, got back on a plane at 9 o'clock that night or 11 o'clock at night and flew back home. We'll never do that again because it was horrendous. But it was worth it that one time. And I have to say, though the annual pass price is, like, I'm not currently an annual pass holder. I will be at our next trip that I go down because I've just had twins and we just haven't been down since it expired, but I'll re-up coming up here. And one of the reasons I don't like the price increase, but at least gives me value, is that photo pass option, because I will make up my money in that. Not to say that I couldn't just easily hand someone a phone, but I don't mind that.
Of course, of a vacation or so, you know, 25, 30 photos is pretty much break even on the,
yeah, it's kind of those things. I have a young kids. So when you get their pictures with Mickey or with whoever, it's hard to be like, yeah, I'm just going to say no or take the illegal screenshot that's barely in focus. You know, it's hard to to justify it was like, oh, look, there's my kid with Mickey Mouse, and it's their first trip. And, you know, to me, I've spent hundreds of dollars over the last year or last 3 years, hundreds of dollars on kid photos. And to me, that's completely worth it that way. So I think we're kind of in somewhat of agreeance there. But let's move on to our next question. Will.
Vicky Marie from the UK. So we've got an international listener here.
Oh, very nice.
How does someone who couldn't care less about Star Wars avoid it, especially with an obsessed husband and son? Actually, I can answer that. I can't avoid it.
Okay, well, if you have an obsessed husband and son, let's remove that part, because that means you're going to be dealing with Star Wars. But in general, what? The Magic Kingdom is probably one of the few kind of safe places, I would say, where you're going to see Star Wars. You're going to see Star Wars.
Are they talking in the theme parks or like in the world in general?
Oh, well then, I'm sorry.
In the
you
world,
can't even go
just,
to the grocery
you know,
store anymore.
I don't know how they what they do in jolly old England, but
throw your cell phone away, move to the woods.
When I was in Disney Springs last week, I was walking around and they've taken all of D Street, which used to have Disney, Disney merchandise,
yeah.
But sort of edgier teen.
Yeah, funky Disney focused. Kind of.
Yeah, funky. It's all Star Wars now. And so, Disney Springs, I think it's all over that. The studios, there's no way around it. Animal Kingdom, I don't think there's much of a tie-in there. And I don't think there's much of a tie-in in Magic Kingdom yet, other than maybe Tomorrowland.
Yeah, so I think those are probably two good options. Animal Kingdom, you're going to be surrounded by whenever Avatar eventually opens, you'll have something that you probably will complain about. But for now, those are probably some
just
some
go hole up in the World Showcase, too. I don't feel like you're going to get a lot of...
that's true.
Star Wars, if you're in the American Adventure or, China.
Just go in through
stay
the
in
World
Marrakesh
Showcase entrance.
The entire yeah. day.
Yeah.
Well, actually, what part was of Africa, of Saharan Africa, was A New Hope?
Tunisia.
In Tunisia. So close.
So not Morocco, but a couple countries over.
Yeah, not too far away.
Hey, but... dude, I got the right part of the world. Come on.
Good job. Good job.
Good job. You know where the desert is. We like that. All right, Terry.
So Beth Anderson Goldman from Cumberland Center, Maine asks, my family is taking our first trip to Disneyland in mid-April 2016, and we're big Star Wars fans.
So the opposite of Vicky.
Yeah. And we're wondering if there's any news about whether the Star Wars stuff going on will still be happening in April. Does anyone know how long Hyperspace Mountain will be going, or if the character meet and greets? I'll miss the old show, but I'm looking forward to the new one, too. Best of luck to everyone.
We really hope you've liked it. We're one episode down, so if we haven't hooked you now, I mean, how long is it going to take? But So Lynn, essentially, there the stuff that's going on Star Wars Season of the Force type stuff, like Hyperspace Mountain and some of these, what's the timeline looking like?
I think for the character meet and greets, very good chance of that.
Yeah, I don't think those are going away.
Fireworks, the Season of the Force fireworks, things like that, also very good chance of that still being there in mid-April. Remember, we're supposed to get a new Star Wars film every year.
Right. So there's no real reason for them to.
Yeah, why mid-April you're essentially ramping up for Episode 8, right?
Right. I mean, well, you got Rogue One comes out next. Right now we got Force Awakens out right now. Next December we'll have Rogue One. 6 months later, we'll have Episode 8.
It's almost like Disney has bet Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru's farm on this franchise.
Burn it
so
down.
I don't think it's going anywhere.
What about like the Hyperspace Mountain? Like, do you think that's sticking around, or you think that's going to just be temporary?
That's a harder one because that typically they do Space Mountain differently for Christmas.
Halloween and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. That one I'm not too sure about. It really depends on what kind of legs the movie has. Yeah. So, if it's still in theaters in March, yeah, it'll probably be around. But that one I'm a little less certain on.
Yeah,
that's really
and some of these are stopgaps probably till the Star Wars Land is complete. So they're trying to get as much in there until it's ready.
And they've still got a couple years on that. The new Jedi show, that'll definitely be the new Jedi show that's going to continue on going forward. So lots of stuff. Hyperspace Mountain is really the only thing that I'm not that certain about. Now the one thing I would say about that is the fact that there is so much construction going on in Frontierland probably helps Hyperspace Mountain because locals will go and see that.
You'll have to distract people some way, so that's a good way to do it. All right, well, hopefully that answers your question. No definitive answers, but if you're a betting man, there'll be Star Wars stuff, plenty of Star Wars stuff in mid-April coming up. All right, last question of the day.
We got Mary Jo Collins from Knoxville, Tennessee. And I'm guessing this is maybe addressed to Lynn, but it also maybe it
may
be
addressed
applicable. To... Yeah, we'll find out.
She's a legend. If you don't know Mary Jo, I'm sure if you're a Disney podcast listener, You've seen her from time to time, orange burning around.
So she says, a little birdie told me you just stayed concierge on the Disney Dream. Funny thing, I too am doing that in January for the Castaway K Challenge Cruise. I've read a lot online, but I would love to hear how you feel that we could get the most out of this experience. Love, your biggest fan.
Yep, there you go from Mary Jo. And I've stayed concierge as well on the Dream twice, so, but Lynn, I'll let you lead it, and then I'll give you my point. It's been a couple years though for me, so.
I thought it was fabulous. Yeah. Starting from the time that they walk you onto the ship, and by the way, you can walk on anytime you want. So not
that
only
is
do
a
you
great
not have to,
perk.
Yeah, especially if you've got kids.
Yes.
Right? They walk you up to the concierge lounge where there's a full spread of food and fruit and drinks for you. And at that point, the concierge will help you make arrangements for anything that you wanted to do on or off the ship. In fact, while I was there, I was talking to some friends who happened to be going on the same cruise as me. And they heard, the concierge overheard us talking about the kitchen galley tour that we had done on the Wonder. Mm-hmm. And while we were still talking about it, the concierge came back and handed us the tickets for the same tour on the Dream. And not only did we not ask about it, it was within 30 seconds of the idea popping into our heads.
Yeah, that is kind of the service you're going to get in the concierge. I mean, I have to say, I at this point, as spoiled as it sounds, it would be very hard to go back.
Exactly. I said the exact same thing, yeah.
It is. It's awesome. I absolutely loved concierge on the Dream. I've done it twice, once in a one-bedroom. And then, I'm going to be honest, I've stayed in the Big Daddy, the Roy suite with family, and that was pretty, that is unreal and probably never gonna happen again. So I'm just gonna say that one I understand is way out of pretty much everyone, including myself's ability to do it. It just happened to fall in line that I was able to do it. For just though the concierge level in general, I probably can't rave enough about it. Same kind of experiences happened that Lynn had where you'll get people come up to you and talk to you and give you things. And look, we booked very little. The first trip we ever took on a Disney cruise was very last minute. There happened to be a concierge room available. We took it. We booked almost nothing. And they were able to get us in pretty much everywhere we wanted to eat. If you wanted spa packages, whatever, stuff that had been booked up, they were able to take care of that for us. So I think you said on a previous show, pretty much all of us have stayed concierge, whether it's the Polynesian or any of these. It's totally different experience than what you'll have in the parks.
And I'm someone that's an anomaly in this group because I know everyone has been on DCL before. I have not yet. So this is a question kind of, I know you brought up if you've got kids, do the concierge and all that. As someone that I would just be going with my wife, so yeah. It's just two of us, is it, you still think it's worth it to do that route, or is it just going normal rooms fine?
Well, I'll let Lynn answer that too. But for me, I did the first time that I went was actually with just my wife before we had kids. And it definitely gives you that if you're not trying to have an overly kid-centered experience, if you want that sort of seclusion and some of that, it's right off of the, is it right off the adult section? Something like that. It was like right near the adult section. So you're not necessarily, if you don't want to experience a Disney cruise, you know, full of screaming kids, it's actually a really good option to minimalize that, in my opinion. Lynn, what do you think?
No, I think you could spend the entire time just in the concierge and the adult section if you don't have kids.
Right.
And in fact, the first time that we left the concierge area for any length of time was walking to Paulo for a meal. And right. We, you know, it was like opening a door to the crowds. You know, it's kind of funny. It really vastly different. It is its own little bubble. I mean, if you think of Disney World as being a bubble, and if you think of concierge at a Disney hotel as being, you know, a bubble within a bubble, this is like a bubble within a bubble within a bubble. It's that secluded. They almost had to drag me off the ship. We had a one bedroom. It was just Laurel and I. I loved it. Hey, Logan, when you were on the cruise, did you get dinner served in your room?
We did at least one night, and it was very nice. Almost frightening, but it was nice.
a waiter stands outside your door and periodically checks on you to see when you're ready
when
for
you're
the
ready.
Next course. Yeah, that was like,
that is sneaky.
You can just leave the food here, and I will eat it in the order in which I want to eat it. That's fine. No, but that was kind of amazing. Yeah.
See, I'm one of these guys that like the expense of the concierge. If it means I could go on like four cruises versus one cruise.
It's like twice as much.
Sometimes it's as much as four times as much.
Yeah, if you're going for the Big Daddy. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're going for like the longer cruises, and I'm kind of at the point where like the 3 and 4 day cruises are just like, I'm like, oh wow, a 10 day cruise, I'm interested. And so,
see, I'm 4 day concierge. I'm fine. That's fine with me. I love it.
I don't know that. So we did 17 nights on the Wonder in September. Jeez. We did the last Alaska.
When did you move off the boat?
Are you hiring?
I know, right? we did the last Alaska first Hawaii. So we only had to pack once, and it was out of the same port, so it was out of Vancouver. And then we did 4 nights in Alani after that. So I was gone for 3.5 weeks, and that was a bit much, and that was not concierge.
Yeah, I've never had experience where I was ready to get off the boat. And really like ready for it to be over. But I have a feeling, and now I have had that experience in taking other cruise lines where I have been ready, but I've also been spoiled. I've only done the concierge service and on those. And I've done the exact opposite of concierge on Royal Caribbean and on Carnival because it was I was working those events. So that being said, I can't really disagree with it, but I disagree with Terry some. I would rather spend the money and go on a shorter trip and have really an amazing experience.
But I will take this opportunity to make a petition to the powers that be in the Disney universe. Because I know they're listening. We want to go back to Hawaii, right, Lynn? Like, I thought that was one of the best cruises I've ever been on. We went on the one after you. But the special things they did for that, I thought were some of the best things I've ever experienced out of the 9 cruises I've been on.
It was fantastic. The couple of the ports were interesting. Some of them are more industrial than others. While I was on the Hawaii, I forget what island it was, but I made the mistake, or actually it wasn't a mistake, but I asked Clayton, the cruise director, this question: what's the most interesting thing that someone bought during a port stop and tried to bring on the ship?
Oh, I don't even want to know.
So it was a stuffed Kodiak bear, apparently.
like a full-on bear.
I think you mentioned that before. But yeah, that's that.
So my question, because we got dropped off this one industrial port, and I forget which island it was, but they were selling full-sized marble countertops, and you know, apparently at a great price. I'm like, well, Laurel, you know, we could buy one of these, and if we can get on the ship, we can just take it home with us.
Yeah.
And so we were asking, Clayton, that when we saw him the next time, he's like, okay, what's this strange thing? And the first thing he said out of his mouth, and I think this is actually would probably make a good episode, he's like, that's going to require some drinks, but let me tell you the one I can tell you now.
Well, we'll have to get him. I know he probably can't at liberty speak, but
he's one of my favorite cruise
directors. Yeah, I've had him before as well. Yeah, so that's great.
Yeah, Clayton's fantastic.
All right,
yeah.
That'll do it for questions today, and listener questions on WDW today. Lynn, tell us where people can reach out to you, find out unofficial guide, touring plans, all your world, taking 17 night cruises, and next time taking us with you, right? So there you go. Tell where people can get in touch with you and what you want them to do. If you had Lynn powers, what do the Lynn powers lead people to?
I do actually have Lynn powers. So I'm Lynn at touringplans.com. On Twitter, I am at Lynn Testa. Follow the website, though, at touringplans.
There you go. All right. Lynn powers, by the way, is my favorite secret identity.
I call Logan Lynn Powers.
Lynn Powers. I just bought LynnPowers.com. So there you go. Before we close, I want to obviously give a big shout out to the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter.
Visit their website, offkilter.net, to see upcoming shows, how you can get involved with an upcoming CD release party that we hopefully will be joining them for.
Absolutely. They just announced that. We announced it last week on the show, and now you can find out more information about that. It's going to be at the Garden Theater in Winter Garden, Florida, coming up in just a few months, and we hope to see you all there. Again, offkilter.net or offkilterrocks.com, and find them on Facebook and everything else, and let them know you heard about them right here on WDW Today. Those guys played tens of thousands of shows for all of us Walt Disney World visitors. The best we can do is give a little love. Again, offkilter.net. And to wrap it up, we could not do this show without our presenting sponsor, Off to Neverland. Off to Neverland Travel, they're a full-service vacation planning experience. They're going to blow your mind with what they can do. They're not just travel agents. They're magic makers. There's a reason they call them that. It's because they're going to customize the perfect trip for you. They're going to get to know you, your family. That's what they care about. And what I would encourage you to do, I did it last week, and I really do encourage you, go to their website. It's gotoneverland.com and read about their story. Even if you're not planning a current trip, it's a really great way to be introduced to why they do what they do. they're not just Disney fans. I mean, they are fans. These are people that are definitely fans and know the ins and outs of Disney World. They are experts in their craft. Again, go to Neverland.com. We couldn't do it without those fine folks. That'll do it this week for WDW Today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Logan Sekulow.
Will Haynes.
Terry Weaver.
And Len Testa.
Have a good week. We'll talk to you later.
We have a wonderful magic trick for you.
Yeah, a wunderbar trick. Everybody, face the door. And the trick is, we're gonna make you all disappear.